Now, the next programme in History Mysteries is Scar of Bray, written by Colin Davis.
This programme is about a different sort of history mystery, a mystery involving archaeology, which is a study of things human beings leave behind them, the remains of their houses, their tools, their pots and pans. Archaeology has given historians lots of mysteries to think about, but one of the best, and certainly one of the most fascinating, is the story of Scar of Bray. Scar of Bray lies on the exposed western coast of mainland, which is the chief of the Orkney Islands. It's tucked away in a small backwater on the south side of the Bay of Scale. It's a large, curving bay, surrounded by dunes, where the sands shift constantly, blown by the northwest gales. Sometimes, not often, once or twice a century maybe, these gales reach a hurricane force. And that is what happened one night in the year 1850. Next day, it could be seen that the dunes had moved, and something was uncovered that had been hidden for a long time.
Hello! Hello, David!
Who is it?
It's the Laird, Mr. Watt.
Oh, and you want to see this, David?
What is it, David?
I wouldn't like to say, Laird, but there's something down in the sand. Crack's dog came running this way and dived down into that hole.
It looks like some sort of a room down there under the sand.
Aye, the wind's lifting its roof off.
Covered by the sand, eh? I wonder how long. You know, Kirk, I think I'll climb down and take a look.
Watch it now then, Laird. I reckon that place could be 100 years old.
100 years? Don't put a bet on that, Kirk. It could be a lot older than that.
William Watt, the Laird of Scale, lived in a house that overlooked the bay. He was interested in the history of the Orkney Islands, in ruins like the Viking settlements on mainland, or an ancient stone circle called Brodgar Ring, very like Stonehenge. So he wanted to find out more about Scar of Bray, and that meant digging.
Now, can I have your attention, please?
Why not?
I want to... Is there any man who hasn't got a spade?
No. All got spades, look.
Right, now listen to me. I want us all to take great care, do you understand? Because we don't want to damage anything, whatever it is and however old it is.
Watt had none of the special skills or techniques archaeologists use today. He had only curiosity and a feeling that a story lay here beneath the sands if he could only find out how to read it.
Look!
The storm had revealed what seemed like a room. The diggers found several rooms or chambers like it, all of them filled with sand, and all connected one to another by covered passageways. Everything was made of stone, huge slabs of stone.
What is it? David!
It's a body.
Hey, let's see, David. Look. It's only bones.
A skeleton. A whole skeleton. That might explain what happened to these poor devils.
What do you mean, Leif?
Vikings, David, Vikings. This hut, I think, was built in Viking times. And I imagine one day when the people who lived here looked out over the bay, they saw the long ships coming, and they knew then they had a fight in their hands for their huts and their lives. Now, those people who lived here...
And you think that's how this man died, Laird? In battle?
It's only a guess, David. It's only a guess.
William Watt found two bodies in Scar of Bray, one in this hut, which came to be called Hut Number One, and one in the passage leading to the other huts. These bodies have something puzzling about them. They were found lying not on the stone floors of Scar of Bray, but in the sand above them. So, what do you think? Was William Watt right? Did these people die fighting for their lives against the Vikings or some other invader? What evidence would you look for to prove an invasion? Or can you think of another explanation? The ruins of Skara Brae were scarcely touched for 70 years after the death of William Watt, but in 1924 another huge storm washed over Skara Brae and badly damaged one of the chambers that had been excavated. The government decided to do something. They built a breakwater between the site and the sea to protect it, and they asked a world-famous archaeologist, Professor Child, to come and excavate the site properly to see what he could find.
Professor Child?
Yes. Ah, yes, you must be the young lady from the newspaper in Aberdeen who wants to interview me about Skara Brae, eh?
That's right. I'm pleased to meet you.
So, what do you want to know?
Everything, Professor, everything.
You think I know everything, do you?
Well, I hope so, Professor.
Oh, I'm a detective, young lady, that's all. I'm in exactly the same position as you or anyone else. Oh, I look for clues. I try to make sense of them. Well, what we have here is a collection of 8 very old huts made of stone and buried in the sand. They're connected one to another by passages with stone walls, and we found enough in them to give us a very good idea of how people lived in them. Well, if you care to follow me, we'll go and take a look. Well, there it is. Skara Brae. I prefer to look at it at night for myself. Then I can imagine all the huts with their roofs on, the smoke from the fires curling out of the smoke holes on top.
I'm trying to imagine it before it was covered up by the sand and the sand dunes.
Ah. That's a mistake, I think.
What? Do you mean it was always buried in the sand?
It was always buried, but not in the sand. Come and see. Now, look, here, this is the eastern entrance to the site. Look, I've drawn you a rough map to help you see where you are. Now, we're here, at the hut we call number 4. Now, look at this mound here, all around the entrance to the hut. It looks like a sand dune. In fact, if we were to scrape away the soil, what do we find but this?
Clay.
Rubbish.
What?
The place was buried, but not in the sand. It was buried in rubbish.
Ah.
This stuff was once a pile of ash thrown away. Oh, food, bones, skins, all that sort of thing. And it rotted down to form this. And we call it the midden. Yeah. Well, it's rubbish. So clearly the first people who came here lived a little way off, nearby, and this was their tip. Then someone had the bright idea of cutting into the tip to build new huts, because that would give them protection from the wind. Well, that's what they did. Oh, and they lined the walls of the houses and the passages between them with stones, and very good protection it gave them, too.
It must have looked like an anthill. Could we take a look around?
Oh, yes, of course, of course. Go through, go through.
Now, am I right? This is where William Watt discovered his skeletons.
Well, he found 2 skeletons. One was in this passage, and one in the hut at the far end, which we call Hut 1. They were found above the floor level in the sand that filled the whole place. Well, that's a puzzle in its own right. However, all the sand has been excavated, and what you see now is Skara Brae as it was. But you'll notice the sand has preserved the place rather well.
Yes, it has, hasn't it? Where are we going?
Well, we're turning off the main passage to get to the best preserved of all the huts, which we've called number 7. So, look, if you just go in front of me, the door to the hut's on the right. Be careful. It's very narrow.
Ah.
Well, what do you think?
It's very well preserved.
Yes, it is, isn't it? And I'll tell you something. I found some skeletons of my own in this hut.
Really?
Yes, under the floor here, buried under a slab of stone. Oh, they died of old age, hadn't been sacrificed or anything like that. I guess they'd been put there as a sort of charm, to bless the house and protect it, you know what I mean? These people obviously believed in spirits.
Yes, I can imagine they did, standing here. Now tell me, Professor Child, what were all these piles of stone used for?
Ah, well, you can see in the centre, there's a rectangular enclosure, yes? Formed with 4 narrow slabs, like curbstones, set on edge. Immediately behind, you can see a sort of hearthstone.
It's incredible they've made everything they needed in stone. Those three stone piers over there look to be supporting two shelves. It looks a bit like a stone dresser. Mm. But not only have they built things out from the walls, but there are also recesses.
Yes, and you'll notice they have smaller rooms leading off from this one too.
Now, I can recognise the shelves, but what are those two rectangular shapes coming out from the wall over there?
Maybe you'd like to make a guess at what they are. And on what you think these clay-lined stone basins set into the floor were used for.
What do you think all of the different things in Hut 7 are? Look at the pictures and try to decide not only what they are, but what it tells us about the people who lived in Skara Brae.
The rectangular shapes would have been used as beds.
That's right. Probably mattresses filled with heather. And they'd cover themselves in skins to keep them warm.
And if this is the hearth, what did they burn on it? Wood?
Oh, no wood. Very little wood to be had in the Orkneys.
Oh.
Yeah, they'd burn peat. You can imagine it, can't you? Inside the hut, the roof is turf on stone beams. Small chimney holes, so it's dark and smoky. The family huddle round the fire, the meat's thrown on, as like as not, it's a whole carcass. A lamb or a calf, and the fat spits.
Can we tell what they ate here, then? Oh, yes, of course, there's the rubbish tip, isn't there?
That's right. And it's full of bones, and that tells us a lot. But, you know, we've got even better evidence than that.
What's that?
The huts themselves. Remember, Skara Brae was abandoned in a hurry. The people who were living here left everything behind them, just as it was. We found pots, tools, food, lots of things. Sheep bones, beef bones, but not deer bones.
Oh.
We can see, for instance, that they reared their own livestock to eat. They didn't hunt wild animals.
How fascinating.
Now, we did find a calf's head in a bed in this hut, you know.
So they were a messy lot.
I guess the place stank to high heaven. The floor was covered in limpet shells and limpet tanks. Birds, eggshells, bones.
What about fish? Did they eat fish?
No, I found no fish bones at all.
Funny that, when they live so near the sea.
Yes, but
limpets are sometimes used as bait by fishermen, you know.
Right, the detective, aren't you? No, but I'd expect to find bones if they had fish.
They could have been ground up as a meal for the cows.
Yes, they could have been, but I'd expect to find some bones.
All right. So tell me something else entirely.
Mm.
What date would you give this place? Is it 1,000 years old? Does it date from Viking times or when?
Well, Viking times are a possibility. It's hard to be too exact in this because the site looks to have been lived in for at least 500 years, but my guess is it's older than that. I'd say it was about 2,000 to 2,500 years old. That's early Bronze Age.
And by Bronze Age, you mean
the time when man had first learned to use metals.
What bronze things have you found here?
None, actually. But we've found enough things here that we can compare with other things we've found in other places that we know to be Bronze Age. But I'm pretty certain I'm right.
You said they couldn't have eaten fish because there were no fish bones.
Yes.
Well, there's nothing bronze here, so you ought to say it can't be Bronze Age, surely.
What are you suggesting? That it's older than that? Stone Age?
Well, everything's made of stone here, isn't it?
No, that's too old. If it's Stone Age, it's 4,000 years old. No, I don't believe it. It's not 4,000 years old. Not Skara Brae.
So how old is Skara Brae? Is it 1,000 years old, Viking? Or is it over 2,000 years old, Bronze Age? Or is it 4,000 years old, Stone Age? Look at the evidence and decide how old you think Skara Brae is.
So, now you've seen Skara Brae. What do you think?
I wouldn't have missed it for the world, Professor.
The world, huh? You think it's that good?
Well, it was somebody's world, wasn't it, once?
Yes. Yes, it was. Well, have you anything else you want to know before your taxi comes back?
Yes, one last question.
Fire away.
You said Skara Brae was abandoned in a hurry.
Yes.
Why was that?
Ah, well now. Why do you think?
Well, Invasion? Did they flee the village when attackers came?
They could have done. But I don't think so. I think the truth's more obvious than that.
Well,
think of how we discovered Scarabray in the first place.
Ah, of course, the storm. But could it really have been a storm that destroyed this place?
Tell everyone to get out of the village and up into the hills. I've never seen a storm like this.
Will you come then?
I will, when I get the brown calf out of the sand drift. Go on, I won't be a minute.
Well, if you can't do it, so leave.
Go on, I'll do it. I'll get her out. Go on, tell them to leave the village.
Where's Saul?
He sent me back to tell everyone to get out. He's with the brown cow. Oh, the sands are drifting so high, the animals are sinking. He's trying to get her to safety if he can.
I'll have to find him.
What about Mother?
You go to her, Mara. Bring as many skins as you can to keep warm. And the sunball, bring that as well. And go north into the wind and away from the sea. Do you understand, Mara?
Yes.
Now go, Mara. And I'll see you by the rocks where the berry bushes grow tonight. Go now, Mara. Go quick, and I'll find Saul.
Mother!
Mother!
Come out, Mother. We must leave.
No, we put the stone against the door and it'll keep out the wind.
The stone won't fit the door unless it's pushed in tight. Come, Mother. Bring skins to keep warm and the sun.
Where's ball. Your father? Where's Saul?
All right, now come on.
Oh, it's no good. We're going to die. We're going to die.
Mother, come on.
Stop pulling me. My beads are caught on the pillar.
Come on.
My beads are broken. My beads.
So... that was how it happened. Thank you, Professor.
Oh, my pleasure. Ah, your taxi.
Oh, before I go, there is just one more question.
You'll have to be quick.
Well, it's those skeletons that William Watt found here.
Mm.
When they first dug up the site all those years ago, how did they die? How did they get where they were, Professor? Were they killed in battle?
No, I think they died naturally and were buried there in the sand when the place was reoccupied.
You mean after the great storm?
Well, I think some people must have survived the disaster and come back here. And dug the sand out, or enough of it to make room to live, and put a roof back on, and stayed on Scarabray for a while. And to protect themselves, to bring blessings on the house, they did what their forefathers had done in hut number 7. They buried their dead in the now sandy floor, as a charm. Oh, well, look, you'd best be getting along.
Yes, well, thank you very much, Professor. I'm glad to have seen the place.
Was it a violent storm that made the people of Scarabray leave in such a great hurry? Are the scattering of beads found in one of the passageways enough evidence to support Professor Child's theory? Well, we do know that the huts were reoccupied, but not by the original villagers, for the new people ate deer and shellfish rather than domestic animals. New evidence is being found all the time to help us recreate what life must have been like for the people of Scarabray. But will we ever know exactly how the people of Scarabray lived, felt, and finally died?
Scarabray was written by Colin Davis and produced by Elizabeth Cleaver. All the history programmes you've been listening to are included in a history pack, available by sending a cheque of £3.50, made payable to BBC Enterprises Limited, to BBC School Publications, P.O. Box 234, Weatherby, West Yorkshire, LS 23 7 EU. And that's all from BBC Education.